Well, hey there, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. I'm glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We're going to be chatting with David Pogge today. David is a life coach who draws on his past experiences to help people, and today he's got a specific message tailored for ex-offenders. You're going to enjoy the podcast. So we'll be right back with David after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Amen. Send me some mail. I love to get mail from you guys. Like to hear what you have to say. Let me know how you're doing. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is David Pogge. He's a life coach, and he's really excited about the chance to help some ex-offenders today. We're going to be talking with David. David, how are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this. It's an honor.
Thanks, David. Listen, one of the things we like to do here on the Journey of Hope is we like to have our guests give us a little bit of information about their background. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Let me see. My folks, they are, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they were graduates of Teen Challenge. I don't know if you've heard about that program. When they were in their younger years, before they had me, they went to Teen Challenge, which was a program for drug addicts recovery. Okay. And so by the time I was born into, you know, their recovery. My father was a minister. My mother was a nurse. And my father, unfortunately, never overcame all of his demons, nor did my mother. My father was very abusive, physically, emotionally, mentally. My mother always battled her drug addiction. And so as I was growing up, of course, I internalized all that. And ended up, as I got older, I hung around with a bad group of kids. And at one point I realized, oh my goodness, all of my friends are in prison. If I don't do something different, you know, I'm going to end up in prison. So anyways, trying to piece my life together, I ended up in my professional life. Doing a lot of social work, worked in with homeless. I worked in a rehabilitation, a reentry program for federal offenders. I worked with in a crisis unit. So I spent my whole life really trying to, I guess, heal myself by helping other people. So what I've done is kind of, as you probably can imagine, in state programs or nonprofits, you always have to have immediate results, right? So we want to see X, Y, and Z. And it's most of the time just a temporary fix. So what I've gotten into is with my life coaching and going out on my own, I want to be able to really help people by giving them the time and the resources available to actually not make those temporary fixes, but get to the roots of those things that are causing them to miss the goals that they're shooting for in life. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, you certainly come from a background that we're interested in, and when you talk about these behaviors that send you down the wrong road, I noticed that you used the term default behavior. Tell us a little bit about what a default behavior is.
Sure. And that's actually the reason why I decided to call my website is Succeed by Default. And I don't mean to plug that, but the point is okay. These default behaviors is that what happens is so many, well, like for instance, I don't know anyone that has ever said, hey, when I grew up, you know, I want to go to prison. I don't know anybody I want to be a drug addict. I don't know anybody that's ever said, hey, hopefully when I grow up, you know, I can lose my house and my life to alcohol. Nobody says that. But we do these things. And so how many times have we seen that? And we have these behaviors that we do, these default behaviors are things that we do and we don't think about them. They're, you know, I got that's a computer term. You know, you have a cell phone and it comes with these default settings. It's already set to operate a certain way. And so many of us, because of how we grew up, maybe the trauma we went through. In my life, my father was very abusive and very controlling. And so my default behavior was to rebel every chance I can get. Now, I don't have to tell you that that did not make me successful in anything. Mm-hmm. It was until I learned, hey, why are you doing this? Is it, you know, and what can you do different? And dealing with those default behaviors helped me to actually put on new habits, to change my way of thinking. And especially with your program, when you talk about people who have been incarcerated and they're coming out, you know, you spent maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe even more in a system where you had to act a certain way to survive. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, and I think I heard one of your guests say the same thing, when you get back out, you have to understand that those behaviors that helped you when you're incarcerated will actually be a detriment to you when you're not incarcerated.
That's exactly right.
And, yeah, and so, and even further than that, and let's say you learned, you know, let's say it's a robbery or some sort of terrible situation that you found yourself in, you didn't plan it, not premeditated, just some terrible situation, the court threw the book at you, you did your time, you got out, you just want a better life. I think most of your listeners probably just want a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't address those default behaviors, if we don't identify those, our chances for recidivism is high. Because we've never really addressed the things that put us in that situation in the first place.
Now,
I know I have a friend. He's one of these guys where he's like, no matter what city he goes to, no matter where he finds himself, he always finds a drug addict or a drug dealer. He always finds that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you talk about these default behaviors, that would be a good example of one there. So how does someone get out of these default behaviors? Do you replace the negative default behaviors with something with a positive default behavior? How do you address that when you're working with your clients?
Sure. So what we have to do is we have to figure out why. First of all, what am I doing in the first place? So let's say, especially this happens in relationships too. Maybe you're a man or a woman and you find yourself constantly in a relationship with the same type of person. If they're abusive, they take your money, they treat you bad. But yet you break up with them and find someone else just like them.
Right.
So the first thing you want to do is say, you know, what is it that's causing me to find this type of person? Like, what is it? What are they satisfying? And so if you can kind of sit down and, you know, being incarcerated, you've got plenty of time to kind of think and just reanalyze everything you've done. So most of us and most of your listeners have probably done this, where we sit down and say, okay, what is it that, you know, draws me to this person? How do I find myself in this situation? And you want to dig deep and say, okay, I needed money. Let's say it was a robbery. What did you need money for, right? Well, maybe this or that, maybe somebody something or whatever. So what you want to do is find out the root of what you're doing. Really find out the root. And then figure out where it comes from. For me, here's how I found out about this. I've been married for almost 20 years, and my wife and I would have these terrible arguments. And almost in every argument, I would begin to just, there would be one point where I felt like she wasn't listening to me, and that would drive me insane.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in that moment, I realized my father never listened to me. Like, if somebody would say, you know, your son did this or this happened, he would never, ever listen and hear my side of the story. So whenever we got into an argument and my wife would kind of give me the, you know, she'd turn her ear and not listen, I would get enraged. And I began to realize it's not her, it's because my father would never allow me to express myself. So once I began to say, there it is, and here's my default behavior. When I feel like I'm not being heard, I react.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to say, okay, that's my default behavior. So then, now that I know what it is and I know why I do it, I can say, you know what, this is not that person, this is not that situation, this is not the same scenario. And that's when you can actually make those new habits. Because a lot of times we can say, oh, if you do X, Y, and Z, wake up every morning and do X, Y, and Z. Well, you can try that, but if your default behavior is to constantly react a certain way, it's going to be really hard to implement that unless you take the time to identify why you're doing what you're doing, how you got there, and why every situation is different.
Well, I noticed that you talk about unresolved issues, and so I'm wondering if these negative default behaviors come from unresolved issues in our life. And, you know, for example, it sounds like in your case, and in the case of a lot of people, actually, there was some sort of an issue with the relationship with your father that hadn't been properly addressed. And so am I wrong to assume that these negative default behaviors come from what you're calling unaddressed issues?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head, of course. One of my big things is deal with it. You have to deal with these issues. When I worked in crisis with crisis people in a crisis unit, the statistics of people who had sexual abuse, physical abuse, were astronomical. And it's really one of the things that drives me is that I have an old pastor who used to say this, and I don't mean to be vulgar, but he says, I hate the fact that people can live in hell and then die and go to hell. And some of us, we have these terrible, terrible things that happen to us, whether we were abused physically or sexually, mentally or emotionally. And we have this terrible trauma throughout those years. And then we end up for the rest of our life never dealing with those issues and being a victim to those by doing things that are self-detrimental. So if your father was physically abusive and the only thing you learn to react is with violence, then what are you going to do when you go on a job and your manager disrespects you or somebody steals this? The only thing you know is violence.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, you were sexually molested or sexually abused. That's how you deal with things. Maybe the only way you know how to show love is through sex. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what happens is we end up with those unresolved issues, never dealing them with them. We think, well, if I just put it behind me and if I never think about it, it'll never come out. But what happens is it comes out. It comes out in every action. Mm-hmm. It comes out in every relationship. But you're absolutely right. It's those unresolved issues.
Well, the unresolved issues, I mean, obviously, you know, things like abuse would be something that, you know, if properly dealt with, could help you get rid of what you're calling these negative types of default behaviors. But, I mean, unresolved issues don't have to be, I mean, they can be more subtle, right? I mean, like you mentioned, you know, a problem with your father listening to you. So am I right to assume, again, that these unresolved issues can be of a subtle nature as well?
Oh, yeah. And these are the big ones are one thing. I mean, those usually manifest themselves in drastic ways. Mm-hmm. It's the little tiny things that get to us. Like, for instance, I'm very careful about situations I find myself in now, because once we go to a new situation, and I know a lot of your listeners are dealing with reentry and kind of getting back into society and trying to overcome those barriers that stand in front of them. And it's very important to try to avoid situations that are going to kind of build those negative behaviors. It could be something very simple. And so these little things, it's really in your thinking and how you perceive a situation. So I try to avoid situations where I don't want to be around people that are going to take advantage of me. If I have a friend and they're always kind of asking me for stuff and they're not, you know, they're not really putting in the right way, or, mm-hmm. you know, they're not really, you know, treating me in the same way I'm treating them. I try to avoid situations like that because I don't want that to be comfortable. I don't want that to be normal for me, because when we normalize things like that, again, we're not setting ourselves up for success.
You also talk about, and by the way, you have an excellent website and a blog that's really cool, and we'll talk about how to get to those in just a second. But
Thank you. You
also talk about the power of what you call a positive partnership. I'm assuming that could be a friendship or a relationship, an intimate relationship. Tell us about the advantages of having those kinds of relationships.
Oh yeah, definitely. and that's actually kind of the blog is kind of funny, but it's like these bands that you've heard of, or these like comedy partners that just bring out the best. It's the same thing in our everyday relationships, where you'll have a friend or a loved one, maybe it's your uncle, maybe it's your grandfather, but these people who bring out the best in you. That's relationships you want to encourage and nurture. Mm-hmm. And you want to, you know, you want to invest in that. And on the flip side of that,
right.
is there's people that can, like, bring out the worst in you. And you want to kind of mm-hmm. avoid those, too. But yeah, finding that person or even an organization, maybe if you volunteer, mm-hmm. maybe if you're mm-hmm. part of a church or something, you want to look for partnerships that are going to bring out the best in you where you feel that you contribute also, which is great.
What about the partnership and your personal responsibility in pointing out flaws that you may see? How does that play into all of this?
Sure. Well, you know, a good partnership, a good relationship is going to be honesty. It's going mm-hmm. to be communication and honesty. And honesty is flourishes in trust. So definitely you want to feel that somebody's earned your trust. You don't want to just go out there, you know, letting anybody say anything to you. That's not healthy either. But definitely you want to be in a situation where it's safe, where there's trust, and it's reciprocated. So it's the same thing with relationships, especially when it comes to like dealing with those unresolved issues. If we don't have that kind of relationship with someone where we can be honest and open and, right. and trustworthy, it's going to be so much harder to deal with those things. So I definitely advocate for finding, whether it's an organization, whether it's like a mentorship, whether it's a friendship or even intimate, build that trust, build that honesty, and make sure it's somebody who's worthy of that, definitely.
I think that and one of the things I talk about here from time to time is the importance of good pro-social kinds of relationships and activities, but we don't want them to be one-sided, do we? We want them
right.
to be,
no.
You use the word reciprocal, and that's important as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because... And I deal with this. Me and my wife both come from a similar background, and we're very slow to warm up, very slow to get outside of our comfort zone.
Right.
But one of the things you have to do to grow is step outside that comfort zone, especially
yes.
if it's in a trusting environment. And you will be surprised at how quickly you can blossom and how different the perception is of things you never thought possible, ways you never thought of thinking, when you learn to be able to open up, you know, a good relationship. A good mentorship, a good, you know, program, anything like that that's going to be able to be where you can feel safe and trustworthy and honest is a game changer.
Okay, David, I'm going to give you the floor here. You're talking to ex-offenders, and give ex-offenders some advice. What's your message for ex-offenders that are trying to get themselves together today as they're listening?
Sure, definitely. One of my biggest things that I want to tell you and I want to share with you and I want to encourage you with is that I know coming from prison that you have a lot of obstacles. People have already given a strike against you. But that doesn't make you. It doesn't define who you are. And if there's one thing I can tell you, it's that you have the power within you. You get to decide how you're going to act. You get to decide what kind of person you're going to be. You get to decide what your future holds. Now, there's going to be a lot of opposition. There's going to be a lot of difficulties. But those things don't control you. And don't let anybody control you with their words. Don't let them make you think you're less than. Have you done bad things? Sure, maybe, possibly, maybe not. Who knows? The justice system isn't always perfect. But you have the power to decide who you're going to be and what you're going to do. And what we need to be careful of is saying, well, he did this, and so I'm going to do this. Or she said this, and I'm going to do this. Whenever we say those things or do those things, we're letting that person in that situation control us. Take the time when you wake up every day, when you go to bed, to decide the person you're going to be, and keep that focused. And remember, you have the power to define your life. No one else can do that for you unless you let them.
Wow, beautiful. Okay, David Pogge, how do we get to your blog and your cool webpage and everything? How do we find that?
Yeah, no problem. I'm on the World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah.
Succeed by default. It's all one word, succeed by default. And just remember, the goal of that is I want success to be a default behavior. Now, that's what we didn't talk about, but successful people, they do successful things by default. They don't have to think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to react to the situation? They've learned that. So Succeed by Default is a website. I've got a blog there. If you're listening, and Rodney, I hope you don't mind, and tell me if this is out of place. If you're listening and you've heard this podcast, send me an email that you heard this podcast. I'd like to help you out.
Cool.
And send some stuff your way.
Great.
Anything I can do would be great. So that's how you can find me, succeedbydefault.com.
Good deal. David Pogge, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. Very positive message and a lot of good advice. David, thank you so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Rodney. Love what you do.
Thank you, sir. We're going to be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. And you can always catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Got an idea for a show? Want to suggest a guest? Send it on to me. That's MathersRodney@yahoo.com. And I want to thank my very special guest today, David Pogge. And I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.